Another Thanksgiving is upon us. I really don't know where 2012 has gone. This has been one of the fastest years on record, in my estimation. We have gathered here tonight, naturally, to give thanks to God. And our ability to give thanks to Him is very closely related to our level of contentment. If we are content, it's very easy to give thanks and be grateful. If we're not content, it's very difficult to be grateful. Ever since the creation, when the first creatures came from the hand of God, there has always been someone, somewhere, who was unhappy with his or her situation in the universe. It started with an angel named Lucifer. His discontentment caused him to lead a rebellion against the Most High God. One third of the angels joined him in his quest to attempt to overthrow the throne of God. And for his rebellion, he and that one third of the angels were evicted from heaven. And ever since that dark day, he has been known as Satan or the devil, and he's been the arch enemy of God and of his kingdom. And it was discontentment that made him do it. And discontentment has been one of his best weapons ever since. He sowed seeds of discontentment in Eve's unsuspecting bosom. And ever since Eden, we have never been fully satisfied with anything on earth. And thousands of years later, we're still not satisfied. We always want things to be different. If we're young, we want to be older. If we're old, we want to be younger. If it's old, we want something new. If it's new, we want something newer. If it's small, we want something bigger. If it's big, we want something really big. If we have $100, we want $200. If we have $200, we want $500. If we have an apartment, we want a house. If we have a house, we want a bigger house, or a newer house, or a nicer house, or a second house. If we have a job, we dream of a new job, a bigger job, a better job, a closer job, one with a corner office, a better boss, greater opportunity, more challenge, nicer people to work for, and of course, more vacation time. If we're single, we dream of being married. If we're married, well, you can finish that sentence for yourself. All of us were born discontented, and some of us stay that way forever. A certain amount of discontentment can be good for us. It's not wrong to have dreams for the future. The hope of having something that is better drives us forward. It keeps us striving, keeps us working, keeps us persevering. But there's a kind of discontentment that leads us in the wrong direction. And here are five simple signs that discontentment is dragging us down spiritually. The first is envy, when we're unable to rejoice at the success of others. Uncontrolled ambition, the desire to win at all costs, no matter what it takes or who gets trampled in the process. A critical spirit, the tendency to make negative, hurtful, cutting remarks about others. A complaining spirit, the disposition to make excuses and to blame others or bad circumstances for our problems. A refusal to take personal responsibility, inability to be thankful for what we already have. And the fifth is angry outbursts, frequent angry outbursts because our expectations are not being met. The discontented person looks around and says, "I deserve something better than this." And because they're never happy and never satisfied, they try to drag everybody around them into the same swamp. Benjamin Franklin said, "Contentment makes a poor man rich. Discontentment makes a rich man poor." Discontentment is the cancer of the soul. It eats away our joy, corrodes our happiness, destroys our outlook on life, and produces a terminal jaundice of the soul so that everything looks negative to us. We cannot be happy because we will not be happy. We cannot be satisfied because we will not be satisfied. I picked the most unlikely text to use tonight for Thanksgiving Eve. It comes from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, starting at the 4th verse. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So here's how to be content. Firstly, know that we are where we are because God wants us there. Know that we are where we are because God wants us there. The background of Jeremiah 29 is that it's a letter from the prophet Jeremiah, writing from Jerusalem, to the Jewish exiles in faraway Babylon. They felt abandoned, rejected, unloved, discouraged, and forgotten. How could they sing the songs of Zion while living in a pagan land? How could they be joyful? How could they be grateful? How could they find the courage to go on when God said to them, "You will be here for the next 70 years? To all those concerns, God answers in verse 4, "I carried you to Babylon." Although the hated Babylonians had captured them, behind the pagan army stood the Lord God himself. He said, "I did it. Don't blame the Babylonians. They were merely my instruments to do my will. You sinned and brought this judgment upon yourself, but I am the one who carried you to Babylon." Tony Evans says that everything in the universe is either caused by God or allowed by God. There is no third option. We are where we are because God wants us here. When God carries us to Babylon, he wants us to know that he has not forgotten us. So we can say, "I know that I am here because God wants me here. I might not know why, but I know I'm not here by chance." Secondly, we have to give up worrying about the past. A lot of us get messed up, tripped up at this point. We feel badly about the past and never seem to be able to move forward from that point. The key to having a better future is to stop trying to have a better past. The past is what it is. We can't change it. We can't delete it. We can't improve it. We can't undo the mistakes we've made. We can't undo what people have done to us. We can accept the past, though, and move on from it. And God bless those brave souls who leave the past at the foot of the cross of Jesus, embrace reality with courage, and move forward with energetic faith in God. Thirdly, make the most of our present circumstances. We owe it to ourselves and to others to not live in fantasy land. Israel was not expecting to hear the directions that God gave them. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. They wanted God to say something like this: "My children, I know you don't like living in Babylon, so I have some very good news for you. Sit tight, stay out of trouble, and before long, I'll have you back home again." But that's not what God said to them. His advice is quite different. "You're going to be here for a long, long time, 70 years to be exact. Since you won't be coming home early, you better just make the best of the situation where you're at." To borrow a familiar common phrase, bloom where you're planted. That's what God was saying to them. You may not like where you are, but that doesn't matter. As I have planted you in Babylon, go ahead, put your roots down. Buy some land, build a nice home, plant some gardens, go into business, help the community out. In every hard situation, you and I have to face the same question. Are we going to complain about it, or are we going to get busy and improve our lot? Don't complain, don't mope, don't spend your days pining for something different. God has put you here for a reason. Don't waste a single moment looking back on what used to be. Use your energies to make your life better right now. It's always easy to play the if-only game. If only I get married, then I'll be happy. If only I get a new job, then I'll be happy. If only I can graduate from college, then I'll be happy. If only we'll have can have children, I'll be happy. If only we can retire to Florida, then I'll be happy. If only I make more money, I'll be happy. If only we move to a new home, I'll be happy. Life generally doesn't work that way. Mel Gibson once said, "You can't live in the future. That's a bad place to live." By the same token, we can't live in the past. But we can, by God's grace, make the most of our present situation. So what's the bottom line? We are where we are by the sovereign choice of God. We can serve the Lord right where we are now. We can glorify Him right where we are now. If we moan and groan, we are attacking the Lord, not serving Him. God will give us what we need right now so that we can serve Him right where we are. In a sense, when we complain and dwell in discontentment, we are no longer believing God. We're no longer trusting Him. On one level, yes, we're still believing in God, but by our discontented complaining, we are denying the very truth that we claim to believe. To be content, stop complaining. Bloom where you are planted. Serve the Lord right where you are. Don't live in the past, and don't live in the future. Don't expect change to make you happy. Let God define your life, not circumstances. Let God define your life and not circumstances. And that brings us to a very important spiritual truth. The only thing that really matters is knowing Jesus Christ through Him, growing closer to God day by day. Nothing else really matters. If we know God through His Son Jesus, then we are of all people, most blessed and highly favored. We have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If we don't know Christ, then the rest of life won't satisfy our deepest longings anyway. Christ must be the center of our life, or else the circumstances, whatever they are, will never satisfy. Circumstances, even good ones, even happy ones, can never replace the soul's longing for the Lord. And keep in mind, just like Karen said a few minutes ago, wherever you are, you won't be there forever. Wherever you are, you won't be there forever. This might be the night now, but the day is coming. The light of day is coming. It won't be eternal. If we live like this, then we will be content. And if we are content, then we will be grateful. If we're grateful, then we'll be happy. And more importantly, if we are grateful, God is happy. So have a very happy Thanksgiving 2012. Amen.